going into this cartoon, Charlie Hilbo, mm-hmm. and pretty much summarizing, it was like, we don't need bombs anymore, right? What are your thoughts? You know, and this goes back to what you're saying. We're people who don't disrespect other people's religions. We're not looking to, you know, provoke. But it seems like, you know, people in the mainstream media and others don't come out to condemn these things. But then when Muslims will step out, some lunatic does something. But, you know, you had how many people now with this tragic event with the earthquake? Did you hear about this?
I did hear about it.
Yeah.
At a time where there's more than 20,000 people that have lost their lives, 100,000 plus that have been affected by this tragedy, instead of showing sympathy to the victims, instead of showing humanity, these, you know, Charlie Hebdo and people in France and other places have been making caricatures and cartoons mocking them. And what's interesting is this is done under the guise of free speech, talking about, well, we believe that you can mock anything. We believe in having freedom of speech. But I challenge them, the same cartoonists, the same magazine, to go make a cartoon then about the Holocaust. In Austria, till today, I was there myself, it is illegal for you to even question whether the Holocaust happened or not. And again, we as Muslims, we're not saying that this is our stance. We're just saying that if you are going to talk about freedom of speech, then why is hate speech a thing? Why can you be arrested for hate speech? And how is this not hate speech when you curse the Prophet who is more beloved to us than our own parents? Right? This is a disgusting show of trying to get attention of the misery of others. That at a time where more than 20,000 have lost their lives, when we're still digging the dead and the alive out of the rubble of an earthquake, you're mocking them. You're saying we don't need bombs because we just hope that the people of Syria and Turkey are dead one way or the other. How disgusting is that? And where are the politicians standing up? Where is the human right appeal? And where are Amnesty International? And where is all these organizations that talk? Where's that little girl from Sweden that, you know, was all up in arms about things? Where's their disgust?
Silence, it seems like. Nobody's saying anything.
This is the hypocrisy. If you use an anti-Semitic term, and we condemn that. We don't condone anti-Semitism. If somebody uses a racist term against African Americans, we condemn that. We in America, we realize that's hate speech. You can be arrested. And if you use threatening language, you can be put in jail for it, just for words. But when people use that against Muslims, then there's nothing. You know, there's laws in many countries against burning flags. You can be arrested and put in jail for burning the flag of a country. But when somebody's burning something more dear to us than a flag, the Quran, people say, well, that's freedom of speech. It's a double standard. It's not fair. You know, when you even question the policies of a particular country called Israel, you'll be called an anti-Semite, even though you're just questioning the politics of a country, right? Arabs are Semitic people, you know, so I don't know how you can call them anti-Semites, right? But when you attack a people, when you wish for their destruction, when you burn their holy scriptures, when you mock their prophet, when you call for their death, like these people from Charlie Hebdo have done, whether through bombs or natural disasters, silence. Why?
Why? That's the big question. Why? Shay, what do you have to say about that? You know,
I actually read a report that the most passive reaction to a disaster, collective disaster in the world, from the United Nations, from all these other organizations. Imagine if this earthquake happened in France, how the reaction would be.
20,000 dead.
20,000 dead, and they are still digging.
Yeah.
And nobody is moving. Nobody is moving to help them.
They're dragging their feet.
They are dragging their feet, and they are, you know, they're most
mocking.
Passive. Because it's the lives of Muslims is a cheap for them, you know, but you know, at the end of the day, look at this, Eddie. إذ جعل الذين كفروا في قلوبهم الحمية حمية الجاهلية. What they have is the what is hamia is the zeal of jahiliya, that Charlie, that's a zeal of jahiliya,
of ignorance,
of ignorance.
It's a misguided zealot approach of the ignorant.
You know this verse was revealed when the Muslims, in their way to perform Umrah, and the disbelievers stopped them, and they were wearing the ihram. And they refused for them to enter Mecca. And Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiallahu anhu, who was not a Muslim at the time, he actually came in order to incite Muslims so that they would do some attack, so they would kill them. But the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to stay still. So even with this, you know, nasty, inhumane, you know, behavior, by this Charlie thing, you know, we're still not going to react to them.
No.
Because وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى. You know, we're going to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in them. And we're going to make dua for them that Allah guides them.
Amen.
And we're going to invite them to Islam.
Amen.
And we're going to make dua for our deceased. You know, because we hope that these brothers and sisters who lost their lives in Turkey and Syria are martyrs, that they take on the rulings of martyrs. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added four categories to dying in the cause of Allah in the battlefield: someone who is crushed, al-hadm, someone who drowns, someone who is plagued, someone who is from
stomach
a stomach disease. So certainly there are those who were crushed, the walls falling on them, and those who drown somehow. We hope that they will die as shaheeds. You know, that's what we believe. You know, we don't make mockery of death. You know, we don't do that. Death is one of, because everybody is going to face it. But what really matters is how you know, how you die. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on these brothers. You know, may, you know, it's very sad. You know, especially
and may Allah guide that of the people in the West that would mock the death of anybody. We as Muslims don't mock the deaths of people. Many times I take a video of somebody celebrating a wedding and they're like, oh, these guys were celebrating something else, and they try to make these tricks. But as Muslims,
no,
we feel sorrow.
Yeah, didn't even the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, he was seeing a procession, a funeral procession, and he stood up. He was actually a Jewish man.
Yeah.
And then death. He was asked why. He said, isn't this a soul?
Death,
is this correct?
Death is correct.
Death is...
Isn't this a human soul?
It's a mutual thing.
So what kind of depraved individuals, you would think now there should be a call by the mainstream media,
again,
by politicians, against
Eddie,
this...
They need help.
They need help back again. But their newspaper, after the backlash, you know, from politicians, from the world stage, they should be run out of business, actually. At the end of the day, nobody should be buying their newspapers for anybody to go ahead and... What do you think?
I mean, this is the whole point, that good people... Yeah. We're not going to wait for politicians. We're not going to wait for the moles who run the media campaigns and have the, you know, these tyrants that kind of take over industries like the media and then run it. These people are only out there to make money. But good, average Americans, Europeans, and people around the world, good humans, whether Muslim or not, should stand up against this in a peaceful manner. Like the Sheikh said, we're not going to react to this in a violent manner. We're going to react to this with peaceful response. But people should react with their wallet, not financially support or buy such organizations that call for the mockery of innocent death. People should see the hypocrisy. Non-Muslims should look at this. Just like we see the war in Ukraine has exposed the hypocrisy of the West about refugees. You know, the war in Syria, which the U.S. and Russia and other interest people were involved in instigating and taking to a different level, one side arming one and the other.
That's a good point.
When those Syrian children, refugees, women, elderly, were coming to the borders of countries like Poland there were signs saying, we don't want you here. We don't care if you're children. We don't care if you're women. We don't care if you just came from war. We don't want you here. And the same countries, when the war happened in Ukraine, and we feel for the people of Ukraine, we feel for the crisis there. We feel for the dead. We respect the fact that that's human life. But when those people from Ukraine came, those same countries were opening their borders. Why? Why is a Ukrainian child any different than a Syrian child? Why is a life of a Turkish any different from a life of a French? People who talk about human lives and talk about humanity should ask themselves that question and raise that question with their politicians and raise that question with these newspapers. Even if you're not Muslim, you should stand up for what is right. And we would like to invite all of you to yourself learn about Islam. This is the response that we want from the non-Muslim community to these types of newspapers or Quran burnings, is don't listen to them. Yourself go, like the beautiful hadith that the Sheikh mentioned about Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi, yourself, you are intelligent enough to know right from wrong. Allah has given you aqal, Allah has given you this brain, this intelligence to know right from wrong. Yourself, learn about the message of Islam. How beautiful is the message of Islam, the message of one creator. That creator that loves you, that wants good for you, that wants guidance for you, that doesn't kill his own son for salvation, that can forgive you just from you asking forgiveness.
Just asking God Almighty Allah alone, that's it.
That can guide you from you asking for guidance. That creator that doesn't put upon you any burden more than you can handle. That creator that wants you to have that everlasting bliss in Al-Jannah, in paradise. So read the message. Learn about Islam from Muslims. And then you can evaluate right from wrong. You can know this. I'll tell you one thing. We have a brother in San Diego. His name is Hamza. And he became Muslim because of Fox News. You know? This brother, we saw him in the masjid one time. Started talking to him. And subhanAllah, he didn't know any Muslims. Didn't know about Islam. And he was watching Fox News and he saw a very negative, not balanced portrayal of Muslims. But him, not realizing what this is about, he said, man, who are these people? This is barbaric. This is crazy. There's some gangsters. Like, this is crazy. And he started to learn. He went himself, but he was intelligent enough that he didn't just blindly follow what he saw. He went and he got a Quran. He got books about Islam from the library. He learned and he became a Muslim himself. Alhamdulillah, he's married to a Muslim sister. They have kids now. We know him. So all of these negative portrayals, these unbalanced, this hypocritical freedom of speech being misused to hide hate speech and to stop the message, all of this, all we ask is for the people to use your own intelligence and go and learn about Islam. And we hope from Allah that Allah guides us and them and gives us istiqamah, steadfastness on the religion, us and them.
Just a couple more questions. You made a really good point. You can imagine if something horrific like this, you had this earthquake happen in like just the place you mentioned, Ukraine.
Yeah.
And imagine now the outlash, somebody's mocking this.
Right. It would be considered hate speech. You know, it would be considered,
You had the example. You had the example of them trying to, we know we don't have any original Torah, but what's today of the Torah, they tried to go ahead. Someone was just going to play like they're going to, but not actually burn it. And they came down and said, no, it's not going to, you heard about this, right? Yeah, but they're allowing the Quran to be burned. These blatant hypocrisies.
You have fathers who are bringing their children, out of this rubble.
Babies coming out.
Child is stuck under all this rubble. You know what I mean? Their whole life is just
right in front of them, just to mock.
20,000 plus, 100,000 people affected. Mm-hmm. Women that are holding their little infant children that have been crushed in the rubble.
Would you say this is a production? I don't think any person who, be it he, someone who's truly, let's say, a Christian or anybody of a God, someone who believes in God, this is like void of God. This is the result of...
No believer in any morality.
You have to be deprived of any morality.
Like the Sheikh said, they're sick. They have a sickness.
These are people
heart.
Who like probably indulge in bestiality.
Whether it's
I don't know. You just have to be sick minded to go ahead and mock 20,000 people dying. I can't write your mind. Where is it at?
If you look at
where's your
the
heart?
Sickness of the heart.
The sickness of the heart.
It blinds the eyes.
Yep.
It deafens the ears. It covers the intellect. Because the sickness, it begins in the heart.
And it goes back, the cure for it is the Quran.
Yeah, if you see people, for example, Jeffrey Dahmer, who was eating children and things, and you look at serial killers and mass murderers, and you think, how could they do this? And then you realize that it's because their heart was diseased. Mm-hmm. When you don't have a morality that is set through divine laws, then everybody defines their own morality. You know, where are the lines then? We as Muslims, we have the Quran, we have the guidance from the words of Allah, yani. We have the Sunnah, we have what the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, taught us. We know that even in times of war, we have constraints. We cannot just go in as they did in Guantanamo or in Abu Ghraib and other places where they just, you know, use dogs for torturing and biting and then mass gang rapes. We cannot do any of this because we as Muslims know that there are rules and regulations even for war. And that's why historically people talk about terrorism and things. Let's look at history.
Can I give a narration which is so beautiful while the Sheikh is talking? Just
don't lose your point. When
you... Sorry. Did I...
No, good.
Yeah. You know, just finish. Yeah.
If you look at the Spanish Inquisition and you look at the difference between that and when Salahuddin Ayyubi, Saladin as they mispronounce, took Palestine. You know, when Saladin, according to Western historians, non-Muslim historians, and they've made movies about this now, when he took the holy city, he allowed there to be churches. He allowed there to be synagogues. Yeah. He allowed people to practice their religion. There was no mass rape. There was no murder.
Historically documented.
Historically, non-Muslim documentation. There is a movie they just recently made about Saladin. You can see all that, right? But now, you look at the opposite. The Spanish Inquisition. When the people from France and other parts, when they went and took the Moorish Spain, which the Moors had ruled for hundreds of years, they massacred everybody. Every Muslim was either killed or forced to convert. Every Jew was either killed or forced to convert. Every Christian that didn't follow their form of Christianity was either... The Spanish Inquisition was a genocide. And a mass... They didn't leave a single mosque standing. They didn't leave, as best they could, not a single Muslim in Spain. Look at the hypocrisy there. In Islam, we have the ahkam of Ahlul Dhimma. We protect the rights of non-Muslims. When we look at the crusaders and the rape and massacres they did with the cross, read your history before we talk. And that's why we say the divine mercy of the Quran sets those laws to protect human rights.
Go ahead, please.
Just in context of these guys that Charlie, you know, they are hoping they are hoping that Muslims will be wiped away because of earthquakes. Actually, this is something that will never happen. There is a narration in Sahih Imam al-Bukhari. The narrator is Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma.
So for the people hearing this for the first time, you're going now deep, you're going into the authentically preserved text now.
Yes.
And you're looking historically.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following verse in Surah Al-An'am.
From the Quran now.
Okay. Yes. قُلْ سَيْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ is the one who is able, in reference to Allah, عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ To send down a punishment from above you to wipe you completely. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard that, he said, "A'udhu biwajhik, I seek refuge in your face, that you make my ummah perish because of a punishment that comes. That would be like thunderstorms and all these or." قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ. Look at the second one. أَوْ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ or from beneath your feet. All the scholars said earthquakes. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أَعُوذُ بِوَجْهِكَ I seek refuge in your face that my ummah would be wiped away by a collective earthquake. Yeah, individual earthquakes, yes, it will happen. That's something about, like the entire community of Muslims, no, Charlie Abdo, it's not going to happen. أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعَ Here is the interesting piece. Or he would turn you into groups, factions, the Muslim community. يذيق بعضكم بأس بعض, that you have internal dispute and conflict. So the Prophet said, أعوذ بوجهك, that my ummah will be divided. Allah said to him, no, this one no. This is qadr. If they choose, then that's their way.
Before we conclude, tell us how to, for the person trying to make sense of this, they're not well grounded maybe in the deen, you know, borderline, jumping from here, there, and they don't understand why. They could have been there going through it or outside and they're looking, why is this happening to Muslims? Why? How can they go ahead and make sense of this?
We talked about this in the Jummah khutbah as well. This life is a test. And one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, as the Prophet ﷺ has told us, is an increase in earthquakes.
So there's a prophecy to this also.
There's a prophecy to this. And we're seeing it. Every year we're seeing
more
and
more. So it's a fulfillment of the prophecy.
Yeah, it's a fulfillment.
There are so many of these you can find.
Yeah.
So
of
he
course.
Also prophesied these earthquakes coming.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of the signs of the Day of Judgment, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, in the authentic narration told us, is an increase in earthquakes. Wow, and deaths from it. And we've seen that happening year by year. And we're seeing, and everything from tsunamis and earthquakes coming. And they're going to hit all parts of the world. And they're going to hit Muslim parts of the world.
Signs of the Day of Judgment coming?
Signs of the Day of Judgment that are coming
true. More earthquakes,
true.
Does that mean that it's coming,
it's coming closer?
Actually, 3 of the 10 major signs are earthquakes.
Yeah.
وَثَلَاثُ خُسُوفٍ خَسْفٌ بِالْمَشْرِقِ وَخَسْفٌ بِالْمَغْرِبِ وَخَسْفٌ بِجَذِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. There are 10 major, you know, the minor signs is the increase. But out of the 10 major signs of the Day of Judgment, there are 3 earthquakes. One in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabian Peninsula.
Yeah. So the increase in earthquakes is something we should expect. And we know that every prophecy of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, has come true, and what hasn't yet will come true. So this is going to happen. And we need to understand that this is a reminder for the Muslim Ummah that this life isn't it. Look, people say, how could a child be killed in a natural disaster? How could God allow this? Mm-hmm. Understand something. None of us have a guarantee of how long we're going to live. None of us bought life, like as if we're going to get a return policy or something, right? Allah wrote it for us. A child that dies before puberty, before hitting the age of bulugh, will be in Jannah. And he will be in paradise because he never reached an age where he's going to be questioned. And in Jannah, he will be a grown man. So he will have, or a boy, or a grown woman for a girl. So what does that tell you? That if some child dies, maybe a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, we see that very negatively. But in reality, it's good for the child. In this world, yes, his life didn't get to be 20 and 30 and 40, but he will live forever and ever in Jannah.
This is the wisdom while Khidr.
Yes, I was going to get
killed
to this actually.
Yeah.
It's a very good point, Sheikh. Beat me to it, mashallah. Mm. If you look at the story of Musa and Khidr, and if you don't
in
know
the Quran,
in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf, you can write, you can read about the Prophet Musa, peace and blessings be upon him, with Khidr, peace and blessings be upon him. When Musa, alayhi salatu salam, saw Khidr, alayhi salatu salam, doing things that he didn't comprehend, he was unable to contain himself, because he was very strict on right and wrong. And then one of the things Khidr explained to him about the child that he killed, and how that young man was to grow up and be a means of misguidance for himself and for his parents. So Allah chose from his mercy that he dies at an age where he will still enter the paradise. Now think about the parents. They would only see that their young child died. They would not know the wisdom behind it. So to them it was a calamity, but in reality it was the best for them and their child. So when some hardship happens upon the Muslim, we are patient. We do not question qadr, why it happened. It happened because Allah wrote it. You know, and we do not question the wisdom of it because we know Allah knows better than us. And we know whatever befalls us is best for us. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said in the authentic narration that I am amazed by the condition of the believer. And this is for none but the believer, the mu'min, the believer. That if something good happened, he praises Allah, Allah increases the good. Mm-hmm. And if he has to some hardship, he is patient, and Allah forgives his sins and elevates his ranks because of his patience. So when we are hit with calamities, we don't question why. We say, you know, it happened. We are patient and we know that there is an everlasting life in Jannah that is the real life. So this life is temporary anyway. I mean, little children being born in hospitals in the US sometimes die at the point of being born. Whether you die that way or under an earthquake or a fire, in the end, that is what life was written for you. But if you make it into that paradise, meaning if you die, whether you're even from a non-Muslim household and you die before the age of bulugh, right? Or you live past that and you are able to earn through your good deeds the mercy of Allah, right? And then you enter Jannah. Either way, if you enter paradise, you made it. Mm-hmm. You're successful. So this life doesn't really matter. It's just a test.
So this life void of the hereafter doesn't make sense. But now, as you narrated in Islam, having the categories of somebody, you can start making sense of it. How you pass away, how you die, even in this situation, can it be a means for you to achieve paradise?
A janazah passed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith fi Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Riqaq. So the Prophet said, "Mustarihun wa mustarahun minhu." This person's janazah, whether he rested or whether he's being rested from. So after the janazah, you see, the Prophet is respecting the janazah. He didn't say anything, but after the janazah passed, the janazah procession, so the companions asked him, Radwanullah alayhim, Mal mustarih wa mal mustarahu minhu? Who are those? He said, the one who rested is the believing man and woman. When they die, they take a break from life. And they go to Allah's mercy. Can you imagine that? This is why Eddie, the Prophet ﷺ, at one time, he made a statement in front of Aisha radiallahu anha. The hadith also of Sahih Bukhari, hadith Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. He said, whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah would love to meet him. Man ahabba liqa'a Allahi ahabba Allahu liqa'a. The companions know quite well that the only time you're going to meet Allah is when we die. On the Day of Judgment or in Jannah. فَعَائِشَةَ commented saying, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَأَيُّنَا لَا يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتَى. Who doesn't hate death? You want me to wish for to die? You want me to be suicidal now so I can meet? No. But the believing slave, when he is going through the agonies of death, the angels who came to prepare him for the angel of death to extract his soul. And this is في حديث البراء بن عازب في مصدرك الحاكم على شرطي على شرط مسلم. Yeah, it meets requires Muslim. Yeah. They will tell him, you did good with your life. You were successful. You succeeded in your test. And you know, Jannah is out there waiting for you. And don't worry about what you're going to leave behind. At that time, okay, let me go. Take my soul. I want to die. I want to go to Allah. Even when they carry him, Hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, they carry him to the cemetery for burial. Look at this now. Qaddimuni, qaddimuni. He's asking the people who are carrying him, drive, come on, now drive. Now. Walk, walk. That's why we have this culture that his janazah was flying, you know, that's a sign. That you know, because he loves to meet Allah. You see, these Charlie Abdu people don't know that stuff. I understand that they may assume that we're suicidal. No, we're not suicidal. But we have a different perspective on death. Death is a break, but what matters how you died. And imagine these brothers and sisters, those 20,000, they have a good chance of receiving the status of martyrdom. Hukm al-shaheed. But again, we don't say that. We don't say for sure. Only Allah knows. But we ask Allah to grant each one of them who died on tawheed ya rabbal alameen, the ruling of shaheed. Imagine that. What is the ruling of shaheed? Jannah.
Paradise. I don't even want to get into it. That's a whole other session, but these people like from Charlie Hebdo.
But just to add, the Sheikh, mashallah, covered the points, but one more point. For the living, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. Whether to expiate a sin you committed or whether to raise your rank. One of the two. Look at this. Any calamity or hardship, ما أصاب المسلم من نصب ولا وصب ولا هم ولا حزن حتى الشوك. Anything that inflict the believers, and that's what the Sheikh mentioned, Hadith Suhaib, أبي يحيى عجبا لأمر المؤمن. Huh? Look at this. Anything, even depression, even a moment of grievance, sadness, but Allah will expiate your sin. Allah will expiate a sin that you committed. So this is cleansing to the ummah. But like the Sheikh mentioned, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending this ayat to make us fear. So we gotta fear. We gotta come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. This is how we look at death. You know, even the death of children. The Sheikh mentioned, you know, that it actually could be good.
It's a great reminder. Life can just flip upside down, literally, like at any moment. It can all be taken away. It can all end. So we have to be prepared for what comes next after this.
And physically and mentally, we always have to remember that there is a greater purpose, a greater
This is not it. And I don't even want to get into now, it's another session, but for people like you're saying, they need help, they need the guidance. If they don't go ahead and start reading this Quran, they don't start taking the guidance, they start being persistent opponents to the truth and mocking and whatnot, and if they die upon this, there's a clear description. Just like there's a description for paradise, there's a clear description of what will happen to people like that in the hellfire, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Detailed.
Yeah.
So maybe that they should read that. Maybe that'll scare them straight.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, people need to realize there's only two destinations.
Only two.
Either you're going to be in paradise forever, or you're going to be in the hellfire, abadan fiha, forever and ever. So you can mock all you want in this life. You can make any kind of cartoon. You can burn whatever. You can make jokes. You can use your double standards. But in the end, you're going to go back to Allah and you're going to stand in front of Allah and you're going to give your account.
No.
There's no other place to go. So this is why as Muslims, we want good for everybody. We don't want to see these people, even from Charlie Hebdo or these people burning the Quran or Islamophobes.
May Allah guide them.
We don't want to see them in the hellfire. We want them to be in Jannah with us. But the path to Jannah is Tawheed, is to believe in the one creator, is to accept the Quran, the words of Allah, to accept the prophet of the last prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And that's what we call everybody towards, is to believe in that one creator, the same one that Abraham and Moses and Jesus and Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon, all of them believed in, and to submit. That's what Muslim is, we submit ourselves. And I want to just make this point in the end. We, for our brothers and sisters in Turkey and Syria and Lebanon and everywhere that is affected by this calamity, we feel your pain. Mm-hmm. And we are with you in this. And for those that are out there in those countries, and we know there are non-Muslims that live in those countries that are going through those hardships, we feel your pain as well. We feel that as part of the same human family that originated from the same Adam and Eve that we all come from. And we want good for everybody. And as Muslims, and as we've been seeing news reports for the Muslims in Turkey and other places, for non-Muslims that were there, that got caught up, that are helping them just as they're helping any Muslim in that calamity, we want to make sure we preserve and protect life.
Preserve and protect life. Anything else, Sheikh, before we conclude? That's it.
No, I enjoyed
That was beautifully said. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
It's an honor to sit next to Sheikh Kareem and benefit from him. Allah protect him upon the haq. And he's our role model here, inshallah, to look up to.
May God Almighty Allah reward both of you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and going over these important topics.
Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Likewise. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum barakatuh. Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.